The National Broadcasting Company delays its program to bring you a special bulletin from the NBC newsroom in New York. John L. Lewis has told striking coal miners they may do as they please about returning to work. He issued the statement as the White House was reported preparing to ask for an injunction to halt the walkout. Lewis, however, contended there has been no strike, and it is not known whether or how many of the miners will return to the mines as a result of his statement that they may return to work. Keep tuned to your NBC station for the later news.
Say, it's time for...
All Sweet.
Did you hear what the lady said?
I said, All Sweet. All Sweet is the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Yes, friends, that's what all the ladies are saying. All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. With All Sweet Margarine invites you to Meet the Meat. Yes, friends, Griffin Company, who bring you All Sweet Margarine and other favorite foods, invite you to meet your favorite radio family, the Mortimer Meats, who live on Elm Street in Civic Center. Well, it's breakfast time in the little white house with the green shutters. The family is seated at the table, and all eyes are on Uncle Louis.
Brother Louis, you're so quiet. You haven't said a word since you sat down.
Yes, Uncle Louis, anything wrong?
You haven't got laryngitis, have you, Louis? Yes, hopefully.
No. I guess I just ate my usual sparkling, bubbling effervescent stuff this morning.
Oh, you poor dear. You didn't get enough sleep, did you?
Look, how could I, sis? There was a big herd of elephants stampeding around in Peggy's room in the middle of the night.
Oh, Uncle Louis, don't exaggerate. I nearly got up an hour earlier, that's all.
Dear, poor Louis, how you must be suffering. Only 10 hours in that soft, overstuffed lazy bed of yours.
What's that, Marty? You're talking about the furniture I love.
Yeah, the romance of the century.
Yes, there is Romeo and Juliet, Antony and Cleopatra, and now Uncle Louis in his bed.
Cut that out.
Now, you two stop teasing him.
Peggy, dear, did you have to get up so early?
Well, Godmother, it was simply imperative. I had to finish writing my dog article for the school paper. They're putting it out today.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I've forgotten all about that. What kind of a dog did you write about?
The bulldog.
A bulldog, huh? Hey, that reminds me, Morty. How are you coming with that piece that you're writing about your boss?
You're writing something, too?
Oh, yes, Peggy. Didn't you know? I've been asked to do a little sketch about Mr. Barker for our company paper, the Barker Bulletin.
Oh, you see, dear, you aren't the only writer in the family.
Yeah, and you see, Morty's a regular head of hopper. Only he's funny without them funny hats.
Yeah.
Oh, Daddy, how pretty. Marv.
Yeah, Marv?
I'm Therese. Oh. How's it coming?
Yeah, well, Peggy, I'm afraid all I've gotten so far is the title. Oh. He said, fearing your words.
And Mortimer Meat, you mean to sit there and tell me you haven't written anything yet?
Well, but Daddy said, I don't know quite how to start it.
Oh, honestly, all you've got to do is flatter Mr. Barker and at the same time make it sound sincere. But there's really nothing to it.
No, really nothing to it.
When do you go to press? That is, when are they going to mimeograph the Barker and Company bulletin party?
This afternoon. Here we go again.
This afternoon?
Yeah.
Why, Mortimer Meat, you start working on that article the minute we finish breakfast.
Yes, boss. Yes, dear.
And I think I'd better help you with it. Women are so much more diplomatic than men.
I'll help too, Daddy. I'm a whiz when it comes to adjectives. Sensational, stupendous, super colossal whiz.
Sure, Marty. We'll all pitch in and help you. After all, three heads is better than none.
There's a saying that spring has come when you can put your foot on three daisies at once. Now, we don't know about that, but here's a daisy of an idea if you want to put your best foot forward with the family some warm Sunday morning soon. Serve them breakfast out under the bright blue sky, or at least on the porch where they can get a look at the beautiful outdoors. And to save yourself time and steps, make breakfast an all-in-one affair. Spread slices of toast with springtime fresh all-sweet margarine, topped with a thick layer of applesauce, a sprinkling of sugar and cinnamon, and two strips of bacon. Now run these open-faced sandwiches under the broiler for a few minutes to cook the bacon and to melt and brown the sugar topping. Better make an extra plateful of toast spread with all-sweet to satisfy appetites perked up by the zip of a spring morning. Now besides tasting so good and melting so appetizingly into the hot toast, all-sweet helps supply extra energy that you'll be using up later on the flower garden. Yes, every pound of all-sweet is a constant source all year round of 3,300 energy-producing calories. Then, too, in every pound, there's a minimum of 15,000 units of vitamin A, a good thing to know if you have growing youngsters around. So, for a spread that's delicious, nutritious, and thrifty, too. Remember, all sweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor.
And because Mr. Barker possesses all these...
Sterling qualities, yes.
Sterling qualities. I consider it an honor and...
And a privilege to work for him, Daddy.
And a privilege to work for him, Daddy. No, I mean, period. In fact, the next time he asks me to do something...
I'm going to bust the big ape right in the kisser.
And when the bust the big ape right in the kisser... Now, Louie, cut that out, will you?
Got you that time, Morty.
Kitter paddle. Now I've got to erase all of that.
Oh, Louie, that'll do. This is very serious work, and you're not being the least bit helpful.
Daddy, why don't you... sandwich another sentence into the first paragraph.
Yes. Maybe you're right. Maybe I should sandwich in another sentence to sort of fill in.
Sandwich? Fill in? Hey, that's an idea. If you need me, I'll be in the kitchen. I feel just a little bit weak.
I had an idea that it worked.
You had the power of suggestion. Thank you, daughter. Now, let me see now. Where was I?
I think you've got enough there now, Mortimer.
Huh? Well,
why don't you just stop with that last sentence?
Oh, may I? Well, thank you, dear.
Hey, Archie!
Oh, coming. Oh, dear, I better show Brother Luke where the pickles
are. Daddy, I'm going to run over and have Joe type up my article before I give it to Dr. Furnish.
Did you say Dr. Furnish?
Yes, it would be my room head at school who's in charge of the school paper.
Mm.
There's no end to assignments. Say, do you want me to ask Jill to type up yours, too?
Oh, well, I don't want to impose on her, Peggy.
Oh, she won't mind. Jill still thinks typing is fun. Let's make her happy, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okey-doke, Peg. I'm all done. My boss, Mr. Barker, by Mortimer Meek. Typed by Jill Donovan. Notice how my name catches the eye.
Well, no wonder. Those big red capital letters.
Dramatic, aren't they? Just like a neon sign. If I can only get them to flash on and off.
Oh, I'll get it, Jill.
Okay, Peg. I'll just flip this tiny page on your father's article. Well, Father, what brings you here?
Well, Peggy, I'm afraid I've got to have my article right away.
Oh?
Yes, Herb Schmedley, the editor of the Barker Bulletin, just phoned, and he's mimeographing the bulletin this morning, and I've got to get my story on Mr. Barker down to the office immediately.
Oh, first, Daddy. Jill, coming. Hello.
Hey,
there's a little chocolate smeared on the second page. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. I love chocolate. Chocolate. Well, I guess it won't hurt. I think this job is worth about 50 cents, don't you, Peggy?
Just about, Daddy. If Jill doesn't charge you for the chocolate. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. Meek, I wouldn't dream of taking your money. Why, I just couldn't get... May I have it in quarters?
Here you are, Jill. And excuse me, will you, girls? I've got to hurry. They're waiting at the office.
Oh, and that reminds me, Jill. We've got to hurry, too.
We do, Peg?
Why?
Well, we've got to deliver my article. Man's dearest friend, the bulldog. Remember?
Oh, okay. Here it is.
Sorry. For you, I seem to have run out of chocolate.
Thanks. Well, brace yourself. We're off for a medal skirmish with Dr. Furnish.
Dr. Furnish, it's lucky we ran into you like this. We were just bringing my article for the school paper over to your house.
Well, how interesting. I was just bringing my stamp.
Oh?
Now, where were myself and I headed for? I really should travel alone.
Don't you remember, Dr. Furnish? You're mimeographing it today.
Oh, of course. Newspaper. Horace Greeley. The Western Man. Yes, yes. Now, where was I before I headed west? Oh, yes, the article. May I see it, Jill?
Oh, but Dr. Furnish, I'm present.
Oh, really? I'm Dr. Furnish.
I'm
here. How do you do? Now, let me see. The Bulldog by Peggy Meek. Yes, he has the same first name you have. A noble animal, the Bulldog. Oh, dear. We had one when we were youngsters, my brother and I.
Oh?
Yes, poor Buster. He wasn't very bright, I regret to say. He didn't learn to talk until nearly 4 years old.
Your Bulldog?
No, my brother. The Bulldog's name was Wilfred, as I recall. Yes, Wilfred Furnish.
Oh, just like one of the family.
Quite. Strong family resemblance, Peggy.
No, I'm Jill.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
Yes, I was very fond of him, and he was very attached to me, usually by his feet.
Your brother?
No, my father. My Bulldog. Where was I? Oh, yes, practically inseparable, the two of us. Always took him hunting with me, but missed him every time.
Your Bulldog?
No, my brother. I had several other canines, too, but I never cared for them. I had a water spaniel. He was all wet. A boxer. He never lasted more than 2 rounds. A pointer, very impolite. And a French poodle. Do you know he barked with an accent?
No.
Yes. Oh, well, enough of this. I must be off. It's been foggy, but doggy. Whoop, whoop. Hello. Yes, dear. What is it?
Percy was just here. He said you might like to see your eyes look in print. So he left a copy of page 5 for you.
Oh, now that is very thoughtful of you. Thank you, Agatha.
Mm-hmm. Now it does look impressive, doesn't it?
Yes. My boss, Mr. Barker, buys Mortimer Meade. When people see him for the first time, they usually say, my goodness, what an ugly-looking mutt. And they give words of ugly-looking mutt. Oh, my gracious, what is it?
Mortimer Meade, you didn't write that.
Huh?
Hey. What's all the ruckus? How do you expect the guy to get his beauty sleep?
Well, Jimmy, you look positively ill. What's wrong?
Oh, I don't know, Peggy, but something terrible has happened to my Barker about Mr. Article. My article about Mr. Barker.
Well, I don't know who's responsible for this, but it's outrageous. Just look at that.
Yeah, let me see it, Jess. He is an ugly-looking mutt. One of nature's jokes. Hey, they're right. Barky is a dog. He's a homely bulldog. And says here, he's got a face that looks like somebody gave it a push and forgot to stop.
Oh, no. That's my article.
What? It's yours.
Yeah, well, Nisi, it sure fits Barker better than the piece Morty wrote.
But, Peggy, I don't understand. How in the world did it ever get in the Barker and Company bulletin?
Oh, Jill must have put Daddy's title page on my article for the school paper by mistake and vice versa. Oh, golly, what a gruesome mess.
Yeah, gruesome mess is right. And Mr. Barker's got such a terrible temper, too. Oh, I'm a condemned man.
Ah, Morty, you can handle Barker. All you got to do is throw the mangy old mud a soup bone at you.
This is no laughing matter.
It certainly isn't. Daddy's piece about Mr. Barker is going to be in the school paper under the heading The Bulldog by Peggy Lee. Oh, I'll be distressed.
And I'll be fired. Nothing can save me this time. Oh, me, I'm a dead duck.
Hey, if you get canned, where's my 3, 4, 5 square meals a day going to come from? Oh, Morty, you can't do this to me.
Oh, honestly, I wish we'd all stop carrying on so and do something.
Do something, for instance?
Well, look. There might still be time to correct this mistake. Perhaps Peggy's paper hasn't been in here.
Oh, sorry, I sure hope you're right, Mother.
And maybe Mr. Barker hasn't read this thing yet.
Yes, Peggy said, well, yes, that's possible. Maybe he hasn't seen it yet. Maybe he hasn't. Yes, he's seen it. I recognize that ring. It has a disagreeable sound.
Relax, Morty. I'll handle this.
Now, Louis, now please take it easy. Don't antagonize
me. Nah, you know me, Morty, the soul of discretion. I'll just make Louis talking. Morty ain't here. He went to Outer Mongolia for the weekend.
What?
Okay. He's out of town for the weekend.
Oh, is that so? Who do you think you're fooling, you fat oaf?
Huh? Now, wait a minute, Fido.
Fido? Oh, wait till I get my fangs in you. I need my hands on you.
How do you like that? The big lug hung up on me. You know, some people just ain't got no manners.
Come, open up. I've got something for you.
Oh, that's just what I'm afraid of.
I said I've got something for you. Open the door so I can let you have it.
Oh, my gracious, I don't think I like the way he said that.
Jerry, I've got an idea.
Huh?
Why don't you hide in the front closet here, and I'll try to get him to go away.
Oh, no, dear, I think I better face him and get it over with. See, after all, what can he do to me besides... Yeah, tear me limb from limb. Hello, closet, here I come.
You better scrounge down here in the corner behind those coats, Daddy.
Yes, dear, and I wish I were a coat, a storm coat. Oh, good luck, daughter.
Oh, if I can just think of something to say to Mr. Barker.
Well, he gets about... Oh, it's you. Where's your father?
Hello, Mr. Barker. Beautiful day, isn't it? The sun is shining, and the birds are shining, and every cloud that freezes, and only man is vile.
Vile is the very word. Where's your father?
Well, if you want the plain, unvarnished truth, he's hiding right here in this closet.
Don't give me that. What do you take me for, a gullible fool? Don't answer. Now, where is he?
Well, if he isn't in there, I'm sure I don't know where he is. That's you might try Green's drugstore.
Green's drugstore, eh? Well, he's not going to get away from me. I've got a surprise for him.
What kind of surprise?
It's a secret. Well, I can tell you this one. It's absolutely going to floor him.
Oh, God. Floor him. Oh, poor Daddy. He's really in for it. Okay, Father. You can come out now for a while.
Yes, for a while?
Yes, I'm pretty sure he'll be back. He said he's got a surprise that's going to floor you.
You floor me? Yes, I'll bet. When I'm floored, he's going to walk all over me.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Meek. Isn't it wonderful just to be alive this glorious day?
Yes, that's what I am, just alive.
Hey, you sound pretty low. What you probably need is some food. You know, as Louis says, there's nothing like a snack to pick you up.
No, no, I'm not hungry.
Well, you'd soon change your tune if you had one of those sandwiches Martha Logan, Swift & Company's home economist, fixed for me the other day. Now, she took long sandwich rolls, toasted them a wonderful golden brown, spread them from crust to crust with plenty of all three.
Hey, smart woman. I like plenty of all three.
Wait, you haven't heard anything yet.
Huh?
After she spread the hot toasted rolls with all three.
Well, you know, Agatha always says that all three is so nourishing and good, it doubles the food energy of the sandwich. And maybe you're right, Ed. Maybe I do need something to eat. Maybe.
But wait, I haven't finished. Oh. After she spread the rolls with all three, she popped in a Swift premium frank that had been cooked in a nippy barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Added a bit more of the sauce and... Hey, what are you doing?
I can't stand it, Mr. Weigel. I'm starving. I'm helping myself to some of those franks that Agatha was saving for dinner. Did you say barbecue sauce?
Yeah, and don't forget the all sweet. And, oh, here, better let me fix them.
Yes, but my goodness, hurry them up, can't you? I'm starving. And say, Mr. Weigel, if you meet Mr. Parker, maybe you'd better not describe these sandwiches to him. With his new bulldog personality, he might become so ravenous he'd make a meal out of me.
Oh, I never knew cracking a mimeograph machine was so much work. I'm telling you, it's enough to recognize help.
Oh, don't exaggerate, Louis. It's not that strenuous.
Oh, no kidding, Morty. It's murder. I'm getting all wore out just sitting here watching you.
Well, turn your head.
No, I can take it. I watched the guy dig a ditch once. Say, you sure there ain't nobody around the plant here?
Well, Mr. Barker isn't in his office, and he's the only one I'm worrying about.
Okay, speaking of Barker, how about handing me one of them pages you're running off?
Yes, here. Oh, now, don't feign yourself reaching.
Oh, thanks. Page 5. My boss, Mr. Barker, by Mortimer Meek. In my estimation, Mr. Barker is the ideal boss. Oh, this kills me.
Yeah, if it only would.
Hey, where was that? Oh, yeah. Mr. Barker is the ideal boss. He has such an even disposition. Even disposition.
Yeah, well, he does have an even disposition. He's boiling all the time.
Yeah. Ah, relax, Morty. Barker's just vicious from a Douglas.
Yeah. Ah, there now. 500 copies. Well, we're all through. And thank you, Louis.
Oh, forget it, Morty. After all I did was to supervise him.
Yeah, and I know you're exhausted, but would you mind lifting Peggy's pages off of the shelf so I can flip these new ones in their place?
Okay. Great, driver.
Yeah, now I'll put my pages here. Ah, there. Now, let's take Peggy's pile of pages down to the furnace room and dump it in the waste paper barrel.
Oh, no, Morty. All this funny stuff in the waste paper barrel. Oh, it's sacred.
Louis, every single copy of that article calling Mr. Barker a bulldog has to be destroyed.
Yeah, you could be right at that. It ain't fair to bulldog.
But so far, so good. I don't see any life in Mr. Barker's office, so he must be out.
Sure.
I'll track him your father down with a pack of bloodhounds.
Well, we just got to straighten things out for Daddy before Mr. Barker straightens him out.
Which reminds me, I wonder how your mother's doing right now.
Don't you worry, dear. She promised me she'd get me out of my jam with a school paper. She will.
Look, there's an open door. And there's a mimeograph machine inside. And piles of paper stacked on the table.
Come on, Jill, this is it.
You've got to find it. Please, five piles. Filled with the immortal words you've written about man's best friend, the ugly bulldog. Now I wonder if... Oh, I think I found it.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the title. My Boss, Mr. Barker. Well, now, let's get rid of the whole pile.
Okie doke. Gosh, who'd have thought that a silly little mistake had caused so much trouble?
Well, we aren't going to make any more mistakes, are we?
No, I should say not.
Come on, let's start tearing up all these pages.
Here's the waste basket. Boy, if your father could only see us now.
Oh, I bet he'd be tickled, too. Just wait till I get home and tell him how we helped him out.
Hey, Maybe you'll give us something to this tag. Maybe. I could eat one more Sunday.
Well, first we've got a mimeograph and new article about Mr. Barker.
One that flatters him.
Okay, we'll call him a human being.
Oh, let's not overdo it.
Well, I meant we'll call him a human with the finest instincts of a bulldog. That's the last of that gruesome page five. Now let's go.
Oh, did you hear that? Somebody's coming down the hall.
Oh, Peggy, we're trapped.
Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, look, there's another door.
Oh, well, come on, let's get those lights.
Hey, Louis, did you hear a noise just now?
Sure, Morty. You had your mouth open, didn't you?
Now, Louis. But look, the pile of paper we've mimeographed. It's gone.
Gone?
Yeah.
No, it's got to be around here someplace. Hey, look, in the wastebasket.
Huh? Oh, no, torn to pieces. What will Mr. Barker...
Betty, where are you?
Hey, Barker, oh, my goodness, we've got to get out of here. I want him to give me a break, but not a compound fracture.
And that's why I came over here to see you, Dr. Furness. Honestly, today's been a complete fiasco.
It has? Well, cheer up, my dear. Tomorrow will probably be worse.
Please, Dr. Furness, you're the only one who can help me. We've simply got to get Peggy out of this predicament.
Yes, you're quite right, Peggy.
Oh, I'm Mrs. Lee.
Oh, I'm here. Oh, no, good heavens. What I mean is we must take action. Proceed to the school mimeograph room at once. Yes. Correct this unfortunate error immediately.
Why, Dr. Furness, I've never seen you like this.
Oh, yes, I'm a human dynamo when aroused. A veritable live wire. In fact, contact. What? Roger. Mm-hmm. Over. What? Roger. Mm-hmm. Motor turning. My, short circuit. Roger! Where's Roger?
Please,
hurry. Excuse me.
Now, here's your hat. I hope you've got the key to the mimeograph room.
The key? Of course I have. I can't possibly misplace it. I keep it on the keychain, you know. Where is the keychain?
Oh, good night.
Good night, Mrs. Lee. Pleasant
dreams. Oh, this is no time for jokes. Now, please try to think. What did you do with the key?
The key, of course. The key. Now I recall. Yes, I left it in my other suit.
Oh, well, that's a relief. Yes. Now, do you remember where you left the suit?
Perfectly. I sent it to the cleaners an hour ago. There. Now, all our problems are solved.
Oh, good night.
I just hope Mr. Parker's gone by now. Maybe I can sneak in and mimeograph that article all over again.
Please.
Here, Mr. Barker. Oh, well, I've lived a full, rich life.
Please, come in here.
Yes, Mr. Barker, said the condemned man.
I've been looking all over town for you. Where have you been?
Yeah, well,
I don't interrupt me, Meek. I came to your house as soon to tell you I was giving you a promotion.
They're giving me a promotion? You mean you didn't see that you hadn't read it yet?
It? What are you talking about? I haven't had time to read anything all day. A thinking man has no time to read. I think. Now, about that promotion.
Then you haven't. My goodness, a promotion.
Meek, I've been looking for a good assistant executive for a long time.
Yes.
Idea hit me last night.
Assistant executive. Oh, wait till Agatha hears about this.
I've been looking for someone I think capable of handling the job with efficiency and intelligence.
Efficiency and intelligence. Well, thank you, Mr. Barker.
And I'm happy to say I found just the man.
In Mortimer Meek.
No, George Williams.
Yes, George... George Williams. Oh, if only Agatha doesn't hear about this.
Say, what brings you down here anyway? Now that it's too late.
Well, I have some mimeographing to do for the bulletin, Mr. Barker.
Mimeographing?
Yes.
But the bulletin's out already. I've got a copy of it right here. And I just sent Smedley over to the Civic Center Businessmen's Club with 30 copies.
You, what? But isn't one of the pages missing?
Nonsense. Old Smedley did tell me one pile of pages disappeared temporarily, but the janitor found it in the waste paper barrel downstairs.
In the waste paper barrel? Oh.
What's the matter, Meek? Are you sick, or is your stupidity showing more than usual?
Yes.
And by the way, Meek, is it true that you wrote a piece about me for this issue?
Well, yes.
I'm glad to hear it. Some of my employees think I'm a dirty dog. Well, I'm very anxious to read your opinion of me.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go to all that trouble if I were you.
Oh, it's no trouble. In fact, I think I'll read it right now.
No, don't do it. No, it's such a nice day, Mr. Barker. Why spoil it?
What?
Well, I mean, you ruined your eyes. It, just a minute. It's too dark in here.
See, turn those lights back on.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
Oh, never mind. I'm going home. I can enjoy this article without being interrupted. It always gives me a nice, warm feeling when I read something about myself.
Yes, nice warm feeling. Oh, my gracious, this time he's going to burn up.
Oh, snap out of it, folks. Things is never as black as they look.
Yes, I know. And every cloud has a silver lining, too.
Oh, and tomorrow is another day.
Oh, Peggy, that was Dr. Furness on the phone.
Yes, Mother.
And guess what? He said not to worry about the school paper anymore. Everything's all right now, dear.
Gee, what did I tell you?
Oh, that's wonderful. But what happened?
Gee, hold
up. Mr. Parker.
Well, this is it. Oh, good luck, darling. And remember, we'll manage so.
Be brave, Father.
So long, Morty. Try to take it like a man.
Gracious, I feel as if I were walking the last mile.
Well, Nick, so I'm a bulldog, am I?
Now, please, Mr. Barker, I can lie my way out of this. I mean, I can explain this.
Ah, what a clever idea. Comparing me to a bulldog.
What?
Nico, man, that was a great article.
Yeah, I know, but it was all in accident. A great article.
At first, I thought it was a mistake. But then I came to the part about all the noble qualities of the bulldog. Mm-hmm. The character, courage, intelligence, perseverance, strength, endurance. And I realized what you really think about me.
Mr. Barker, do you feel all right?
Never felt better in my life. Nico, man, your article made such a big impression on the Civic Center Businessmen's Club that they just named me the Bulldog of Big Business. Walter Barker, the Bulldog of Big Business. What do you think of that?
Well, my gracious, well, congratulations, Mr. Bulldog. I mean, Mr. Barker.
Congratulations yourself, Pete. I'm making you my assistant executive after all. Yes, sir. From now on, I'm barking up the right tree.
Bulldog Barker, man's best friend.
April showers bring May flowers, so the poem goes. Of course, warmth and sunshine help, too. I guess the poet just forgot about them. But there are some things that don't need to wait for sunshine or anything as unpredictable as the weather. For instance, the flavor, goodness, and nutrition of all sweet margarine. Yes, this is the table spread that in summer or winter always has the same delicate, natural flavor. Why? Because that flavor is controlled, and because the vitamin content is also controlled. All sweet has at least 15,000 units of vitamin A, winter and summer. Yes, all sweet is always the same, consistently good, consistently delicious. You see, those folks out at Swift have made nutrition their business. And that's a good point to remember when you're buying food for your family, especially for your growing children. Yes, for a table spread that's always good for cooking, for baking, and for table use, remember, all sweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor.
Peggy, I'm afraid I don't understand. You gave my piece about Mr. Barker to Dr. Furness for the school paper and called it the Bulldog, and still everything turned out all right.
Yes, Daddy. Thanks to Dr. Furness's wonderful memory.
Wonderful memory? Uh-huh. But, dear, he forgets everything. He even forgot to take his keys out of his suit before sending it to the cruiser.
That's just what's so wonderful about it.
Eh?
You see, he also forgot to put the article in the paper.
Today's trip for Meet the Meat, starring Horace Lewis and Burl Vaughn, was written by Bob Huron and directed and produced by Les Weinrod. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate, natural flavor, again invites you to Meet the Meat. This is John Weigel speaking. National Broadcasting Company.